Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. There are lots of toxic chemicals out there, but we don't have to get sick from them. We don't have to have them in our homes or our bodies, and that's what we talk about here, how to do that. It's Monday, April 29th, 2013, and I'm here in Clearwater, Florida. Today we're going to talk about water bottles, bottled water, pollutants in water, and what you can do to always have clean water with you by having the proper kind of water bottle. My guest today is Laurel Herter, who has created the most beautiful water bottle I've ever seen, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But first I want to tell you a story about something that happened to me over the weekend. Some friends invited me over to watch a video with them, and it was a film called The Singing Revolution. And this inspired me so much, I want to tell you what happened. All of these events that I'm about to tell you actually happened in my lifetime, but I didn't know it at the time. I was so stunned to find out what I'm about to tell you. If you're near my age, you probably remember in the 60s, there was a time when there was a communist threat in America. I remember as a child in school, we all had to do air raid drills in case the communists attacked. And in communist USSR, United Soviet, I forget what that stands for, so United Soviet Socialist Republic, there is an area that is known as the Baltic States. And within the Baltic States is a country called Estonia. And Estonia is a very small country, but part of its tradition was singing. And even though it's such a small country, it has one of the largest collection of folk songs in the world. And early in the 20th century, there was some conflicts where different countries were occupying Estonia. It went from being occupied by the Soviets to the Nazis to the Soviets. There was a lot of destruction, and in fact, Estonia has a whole history of being occupied by different countries. And this last time, after World War II, they had been occupied by the USSR for 50 years. And they decided that they wanted their independence. And what they did was they rediscovered their own music. When at the end of World War II, the Soviets went in and destroyed all the culture of Estonia and replaced it with Soviet culture. But inside the homes of Estonians, they were still singing their songs. And when they decided that they were going to, when things changed and there was glasnost and perestroika, and they had free speech, they started not only talking, but singing. And when they decided that they wanted to declare their independence, they didn't have any war or bloodshed. What they did was they found a legal loophole in which they could register themselves as citizens of their own independent country. And every adult in the country registered as a citizen of Estonia. And I'm making a very long story short, but there was a day when the Soviets sent in the tanks. They didn't like this uprising about independence and freedom. And they sent in the tanks, and Estonian citizens walked up to the tanks in their street clothes with no guns, and they didn't shoot. And that day, Estonia seceded from the Union of the USSR. And the following day, Russia, the entire country of Russia, seceded from the USSR. And the day after that, all the other countries seceded from the USSR, and there was no more USSR. This big threat that I grew up with in my childhood just disappeared just like that. well, not just like that. It took years, like about a decade. But when it came down to it, it was people acting for their own independence, saying, we're going to assert ourselves as being a free people. And by doing that, that idea was more powerful than guns and tanks. And I think that this moved me so much because what I'm working for here on this show and in my work is freedom. It's freedom from toxic chemicals. And that they were able to do this by asserting that they were free is something that I'm doing every day, and something that I'm encouraging all of you to do every day is to just make those choices to be free from exposure to toxic chemicals, to be free from having toxic chemicals in your body, to be free from having the negative health effects of toxic chemicals. And if a small country can bring down the USSR and make it dissolve without bloodshed, without war, we should be able to do the same thing with toxic chemicals. We should be able to have a toxic free world. And now I'd like to introduce Laurel Herter, who is the founder of Bottles Up Glass and the principal of Laurel Herter Design in Bluffton, South Carolina. And I'm looking at the clock and I'm talking so much, and there's so much I want to say about Laurel that we probably won't hear from her until after the break. But I want to tell you another story just because this is so special. Laurel's bottles are just so beautiful. I'm hoping that you all will go to her website and see her bottles at bottlesupglass.com. And the second that I saw them, I don't even remember where I saw them, I wanted one and I wrote about them on Deborah's list. And unbeknownst to her, Laurel didn't know that I had done this, but on April 1st, she wrote to me and she said, I'd like to introduce you to my bottles. And somebody had told her that she must get in touch with me. And then on the 15th of April, 2 weeks later, and I never received that email. And on the 15th, 2 weeks later, I just happened to be in Bluffton, South Carolina. And I had no plans to go there. I live in Florida. But we were just driving by, and I said, let's go to Bluffton. And the very first store that I went into, her bottles were sitting on the shelf. And there's just, we talked, we finally connected. When I invited her to be on my radio show, we figured out what had happened. So, Laurel, I know you're there. Well, let's at least say hello to you before the break.
Hi there.
Hi. So we have a couple of minutes. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about how you became interested in toxic chemicals in glass bottles, in plastic bottles?
Well, I had worked for an environmental consulting company for about 6 years in the middle of my glass career. I've been doing glass, all kinds of art glass, for the past 30 years, ever since I graduated from college. And I've just really paid attention to environmental issues and had grown up in a family that was very conscious of our wonderful planet and taking care of our environment. And in 2007, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I just couldn't believe it, of course, like nobody can. And it really set me to wondering, what have I done wrong? At what point did this happen to me? How could I have prevented it? What can I change in my everyday life? I'd eaten very well. I'd taken good care of myself. But my business, there's lots of chemicals and solvents. There's lead, there's solder, and all kinds of petroleum-based chemicals. And I had been pretty careful, but I guess not careful enough, because I really do believe that this was an environmental
And I have to interrupt you because it's time for the station break, but we'll continue your story when we come back. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm.
We're back. Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Tad, and I'm here with Laurel Herter, glass artist, principal of Laurel Herter Design, and founder of Bottles Up Glass in Bluffton, South Carolina. So, Laurel, continue on with your story.
Well, after that, I just started looking at what was around me. What could I have done? What had I been eating? What had I been exposed to? And as I said, there were lots of chemicals and solvents, and I thought, well, I'll be taking this sort of one step at a time. I worked with a nutritionalist and went to the best cancer center and had an actually pretty enlightening experience through it all, and am now 6 years clean with from breast cancer. But I worked with a nutritionalist who didn't really impart much more than, you know, watch out for what you're eating and what you're exposed to. And so since then, of course, I've been very careful to not be around chemicals that I had been and solvents and sand. I don't do any of my own sandblasting anymore. But I was standing in my studio, in my glass studio, the wonderful pure clarity of glass, standing there with a plastic water bottle, and realized that, well, this is one thing I can stop with. I live in the South, and the water gets real hot in the plastic bottles, and you keep hearing about BPAs and PVCs being leached into your water from plastic water bottles, and this was 5 or 6 years ago. So I immediately said, at least, well, I can drink out of mason jars. So I drank out of mason jars for quite a while, and I took many, many less boxes out to the recycling bin because I had been diligently buying bottled water and thinking that my tap water was bad. Somebody just came in here. I started with drinking from mason jars, and then I just started drawing some designs for a water bottle that would be better, easier to drink out of. The exterior threads around the on a mason jar make it so that you kind of drool with it. So I knew that I wanted a wide mouth that I could put ice in and that you could clean easily, and I also wanted it to be something beautiful like the art glass that I had been designing for so long. So after drawing these designs, I then had molds made up in Seattle, wooden molds for a glassblower here in Savannah to do some preliminary bottles with. And we went over there and spent weeks doing that. And we just couldn't get a consistent inside diameter. We knew that they were going to be very expensive. But my idea here was that this is the art glass bottle. This isn't just an alternative to plastic bottles. This is the combination of my craft that I had been honing for so long, and this is the combination, you know, with good environmental sensibility and a wonderful aesthetic. So I had the samples made, and they just weren't quite right. They weren't consistent, and they were wildly expensive. I started working for a fellow in Mexico where I was advising on a construction project and doing some stained glass down there. And every time that I would come into town, I would drive by this large glass blowing company. And I knew that they supplied the glass, drinking the glasses and margarita glasses and shot glasses for Pier 1 imports. And I knew that they had, you know, maybe 300 employees. And I thought, well, maybe they can do something that's a little bit more of a production item than fully hand-blown. So I went to see them, and I dragged in my wooden molds, and they kind of humored me and made more samples and realized that they, too, were having the same problem. We couldn't get a consistent inside diameter. They referred me to a company in Mexico City that has their own curbside recycling program, and they use 75% recycled glass, and it turns out to be the same glass that we use in our bottles now. As Don Julio tequila and the Patron tequila. And it's a beautiful hammered texture that looks like hand-blown, but has all the technical parameters that we needed to be able to make a closure that was sealed tight. We also had a commitment to not wanting to use any plastic at all in our product or packaging, which turned out to be a really tall order. We looked at food-grade silicone, and we looked and looked and looked, and it was very hard to find a silicone manufacturer. We wanted everything to be made in the United States, but the glass was impossible. We knew that because it's only large glass companies and fully automated companies that are able to make a consistent inside diameter for the bottle. So we knew that we had the good thing going with the company in Mexico, and we started doing prototypes with a company out of Maine who makes wonderful, they do a lot of scuba diving equipment and hospital-grade silicone for medical use. And I went up there and talked to the fellow, and he was intrigued by the idea, and I worked with, I think, three different industrial designers to get the caps to fit just right on the bottles, and we finally came up with 8 different colors of food-grade silicone and gripper rings around the outside that are interchangeable for identification and just for fun.
It's so, such a beautiful bottle, and could you just talk to us for a minute about, because we really have a minute until the next station break, could you talk to us a little bit about silicone? Because I know a lot of people are just unsure about it, and it sounds like that you have some experience with it. So could you just tell us how toxic or non-toxic? I mean, I don't have any problem with the silicone rings and top on your bottle, but could you just tell us what you know?
Well, what I do know is food-grade silicone is one of the cleanest of the, it does have plasticizers in it, but it is about as pure as we can get for any kind of closure that we could be using for a resealable bottle. It is not a petroleum-based product, and silicone is made from sand. It's silicon, you know.
Right.
And it is even used in medical inserts. People have bits of silicone in their bodies, and it's used all throughout the medical industry. It can be heated to very hot temperatures. You can bake with it in the oven. So that's made it so that we're able to use it over and over again in the dishwasher, and it doesn't change color or stretch or change at all.
Good. We need to take another commercial break, and when we come back, we'll have more with Laurel Herder about water, water bottles, and beauty. Back on Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and my guest today is Laurel Herder, founder of Bottles Up Glass and designer of the most beautiful water bottles I've ever seen. Laurel, I want to make sure that we get in this question, and that is, why is beauty important to you in this bottle? You could have just made, I have so many glass bottles, and they're all pretty utilitarian except for my second favorite now, because yours is my favorite, but my second favorite until I saw yours was just a regular glass bottle, but it had stars etched in the glass all over it. And I would drink my water out of those above all. But what I notice about your bottle is that it has a quality to it that goes beyond utilitarian function, that I actually experience the beauty and the art a bit, and it enhances my experience of drinking the water. It feels good in my hand. The bottle feels like it just belongs there. The opening is, it's a wide mouth bottle, and like you said earlier, you can put ice into it. It's easy to drink out of. It just is overall this aesthetic function, aesthetic and functional experience. What was it? Wasn't it William Morris said something about, you know that quote? If it's if it's going to be functional, it should be beautiful or something like that. I should look that up so I know what it is. So tell us your thoughts about why it was important to you to make this a piece of art.
Well, that I the idea of form following function or function following form has always been an age-old question and something that in art school we discussed ad nauseum. My mom is at 97 and still an incredible painter and fine artist, and my father, they were both naturalists and were outside all the time, and we had an appreciation for the natural world around us. And for in my career, that's really what my focus has been, just making beautiful objects. And so much of the time, while they do serve a function, they are architectural. Everything I make and was commissioned to do is built into buildings. They serve no other function than that. And one of the things that appealed to me about doing this is that it served a utility. It was good for the better for the environment than any plastic water bottle that I could use. And I saw it as a real challenge. And I sort of saw this my health crisis as something where a lot was almost revealed to me about, oh, I can make this a beautiful thing and a beautiful alternative to the 38 billion plastic water bottles that are going into our landfills every year, and make maybe help to impart not only a sense of, you know, environmental stewardship, but to hone their own aesthetic and to see that this is a more beautiful bottle. I also have a real commitment to glass and to just the beauty and sparkle of glass. And, you know, the Glass Packaging Institute has a great slogan of glass is nothing. And that's part of what we see. Everyone else who is making a glass water bottle, they need to cover it because they're using a thin, just utilitarian glass. And it just serves the function of getting away from plastic.
Right.
But I wanted it to be beautiful, and I wanted it to stand alone. We do have carrying bags, but certainly not bags that you want to leave on the bottles. These are something that you want to have next to your bed or in your office or in your car. And so it's a statement that you have a aesthetic awareness as well as an environmental commitment.
Well, one of the things that's important to me, by the way, the quote from William Morris is, have nothing in your houses that you do not know to be useful or believe to be beautiful, and this bottle is both. And one of the things that has been important to me as a human being over the years is that many years ago, when I first discovered that toxic chemicals were making my body sick, my only concern was to be in an environment that didn't make me sick. And aesthetics just went out the window. But as I was able to start to piece together a non-toxic life, what came back to me was that life is more than simply avoiding chemicals. And I had gotten to a point where that was all my life was about. But now it's about having a life that's free from exposure to toxic chemicals. And so I've been an artist of one kind or another all my life. I was a professional musician, and I'm, you know, keep up with my music now and my writing, and my house is an aesthetically pleasing place to be. And so it's not just about a world with toxic chemicals and a world without toxic chemicals. The world without toxic chemicals has so many wonderful things in it that are enjoyable and soulful and healing in their own right because of their beauty. So I just really want to thank you for having all of these elements together in a truly unique piece. I want to also make sure that we talk a little bit about why people should be carrying their own water, making their own water, and having their own water bottles. Do you want to tell us something about some of the first of all, water pollutants that we need to be not drinking tap water, and then pollutants in bottles that lead us to have glass be a better choice?
Well, you know, it's too bad that you have to kind of list them in orders of priority, but truly bottled water, I think, is much more of a a threat to our physical health and the environment than tap water is. Tap water is regulated by the EPA much more strictly than the FDA bottle regulates bottled water. And one-third of the bottled water that we buy in these terrible plastic water bottles that are very, very infrequently recycled is just tap water. Bottled water costs 2,000 times more than tap water. And you know, I think the horrible thing here really is the plastic water bottles. Not only, they can be recycled. Well, I think it's only 20 or at the most 30% of all the 38 billion single-use plastic water bottles are actually recycled. And to say nothing of just the time it takes, the space it takes, tap water, to learn to filter our tap water, to learn what's in our tap water, to learn what the actual source of our tap water is a really important responsibility that we all have. A lot of us don't even know where our city water comes from, and so much of it is just fine. And if you don't like it, or you don't like the taste of it, leaving it in the refrigerator overnight where the chlorine is dissipated, or using charcoal filters such as Kishu, these wonderful charcoal filters that we're now selling through a woman in Denver who is importing them from Japan, and it's like almost carbonized charcoal that absorbs most of the chemicals that you would find in any tap water. So I really think that tap water really isn't the problem. Water bottles
okay,
are the worst.
I hear you.
It's too bad that we have to list them, that we have to number it that way. It's not all just pure, clean water.
We're going to take a break now. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we're here talking about water and water bottles with Laurel Herter of BottlesUpGlass.com. We're getting to the end of our hour, Laurel. I just during the break went to your website and I was looking at your Kishu charcoal, which looks like a very interesting product. But I just want to make sure that I understand and our listeners understand what it will remove and what it won't remove. Water is pretty complex. So could you address that a little more?
Kishu, I don't have a label in front of me. It does say it on my website and on her website, which is kishucharcoal.com. It doesn't, of course, remove heavy metals, but it does remove tastes. And I wish I had the list.
I would think that it would remove chlorine and various other things that are absorbed by charcoal. This looks like really good, really, really good charcoal. I'm seeing on your site that it's made from special oak trees that are sustainable, harvested, and slowly fired in traditional kiln ovens over many days. And it's very simple because you just place the charcoal in the bottle and it starts absorbing impurities and putting healthy minerals in, like calcium and potassium is what it says.
It looks like just a stick. It's a beautiful stick that is that after 6 months can be used as a air freshener either in your refrigerator, your shoes, or it's often used in Japanese flower arranging as kind of a feng shui to clear the energy in a room and clean.
And I think that probably in Japan, when people started using this, that it probably handled whatever impurities were in the water. But I'm thinking it probably doesn't remove things like fluoride or radiation or things like that.
No, it does remove lead and mercury, copper, cadmium, chlorine. And it really does make the water taste sweeter. So I wouldn't recommend for something, out of a stream in Bangladesh or something, or someplace
my point being, not to put down your filter, because I'm sure it works very well for what it does. And it's certainly very beautiful and natural and in line with your bottle. I just want to make sure that because our water pollution is so complex, that those listening understand that it's really important to know what is in your tap water, perhaps even have it tested, so that you use the appropriate device to remove whatever pollutants you want to remove. And this is where the pollutants need to be matched with the filter pretty correctly. And I just don't want people to think that there's one filter that can just remove everything, that it needs to be pretty matched well. But I'm sure that this makes the water taste much better.
And well, it is much like the so many of our filtration systems that we use, like a Brita filter. It's I'm pretty sure it's the exact same stuff. It's just in a different form, and it doesn't come in a plastic package. So,
right.
Well, it doesn't take, you know, toxic chemicals out of the out of your tap water. It's pretty darn good for tap water.
Yes, I think that it does. It does what it does, I think.
Right.
Very well.
Right.
And it's just I want people to understand that if you really have seriously polluted tap water, that you need to have a match for that. Yeah. So we just have a few minutes left now. Is there anything else that you want to say that you haven't yet said?
Well, one of the things, too, that we're going to be offering in the future, and we're researching more different filtration systems, because we really believe that the water that we need and can make great use of is all around us, and there are some amazing filters that are coming out now, anywhere from, you know, a $5 very simple stick of carbonized charcoal to some ultraviolet filters that are, you know, in the hundreds of dollars. And we're looking into those and are going to be offering those on our website as time goes on and as we personally look into what their, you know, what their qualities are.
Yes, I think that I'm totally in agreement with what you're doing. I think that every person needs to filter and take responsibility for and carry their own water with them. I've been looking at water filters for 30 years, and I've had several different kinds myself. And yet, while I'm fastidious about this at home, when I'm away, I haven't always, you know, I'll drink tap water in a restaurant or something like that. And recently, I've just gotten to this point where I just don't want to do that, and that I'm much more willing to carry my water with me now, because I go to a restaurant and I look at that glass sitting there and I don't want to put it to my lips.
Right.
And I'm starting to carry your bottle into the restaurant. And
well, now we have some bags, and we're planning on having lots more choices of bags for exactly that, because we have several friends here in Bluffton who have gotten used to using the bottles, and they're even using them on their road bikes. And we laugh that these bottles are sturdy. They're really heavy, like an old Coke bottle, and purposely,
yes,
so that they really can withstand the everyday tumble. We get wonderful testimonials from people. Oh, they rolled off the back of my car under the pavement, and it didn't break.
So
of course, it can break. I'm not saying it won't, but people just, you know, it's like you'd have to make a change. You get used to it, and we have friends who are using them on their road bikes where the bottle weighs almost as much as the road bike.
But, you know, haven't you found that once you become aware of toxic issues and how much harm they can cause your body and how much better you can feel and how much more healthy you can be by taking these simple steps, doesn't it make you feel like, well, obviously not only did you want to do them for yourself, but it made you go through everything that you did to design a whole product that goes into this category.
Right.
It's just, there's a inspiration to actually do it when you see the benefits, isn't there?
No, it really was an inspiration, and it was, you know, I felt like I was being sort of groomed to come up with this idea that was then really just revealed to me of, oh, I've got glass, and we're talking about chemicals, and I have a wonderful environmentalist background, and here it all is. I'm hoping to bring it to they can really work together with a great aesthetic.
That's really great. Really great. I'm so happy that you were with us today. Thank you for coming.
Well, thank you. It was a wonderful coincidence that we met up, isn't it?
So I just want to give Laurel's website again. It's bottlesup.com.
And no, it's actually
bottlesupglass.com. And she has, there's a beautiful glass, and then there are these rings that go around, and you can choose your color and little bottles and little filters, and you'll just be all set to walk into any restaurant of any kind. You'll just be as elegant or as casual as you need to be. And it's heavy, but not too heavy, and just an all-around wonderful product. Thank you very much, Laurel.
Thank you. I appreciate it. My pleasure.
So just to close, I just want to remind you of the resources that are available at my website. You can go to toxicfreetalkradio.com, and across the top of that page, there's a menu, and one of the things that's available to you is my Q&A, which is totally free, where you can post a question, and I and my readers will give you answers about how to live without toxic chemicals from our own experiences. I have more than 3,000 questions posted there, more than 12,000 answers, and then if that isn't enough, you can go over to Deborah's List, which is a directory of more than 500 websites that sell non-toxic products. BottlesUpGlass.com is on that list, and as are many other toxic, non-toxic products. And if you have a personal question that you don't want to ask in public, or it's a very specific thing, or you need help finding a specific problem or solving a specific toxic problem or looking for a product or trying to understand what it says on the material safety data sheet or any of those things, you can always call me up and do a personal paid consultation with me. I am available to answer your questions. If you haven't read my book, Toxic Free, yet, that's a really good place to start because it explains what the problem is about toxics and consumer products and how they affect our health, and gives you 50 suggestions of things that you can do to remove toxic products from your home and what to replace them with. It tells you how to remove toxic chemicals from your body. It tells you what kind of nutrition you need to help your body heal from our toxic exposures. And on Fridays, you can call this show, and it's open phones, and you can ask your questions. That's all for today. I'm Deborah Lindyad. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio.